This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. North Carolina's alcohol laws are changing. The Alcohol Beverage Control Commission took over liquor sales after Prohibition and has had steady control over how we buy our distilled spirits ever since. With the boom of our craft beer industry and the influx of local distilleries around the state, some in North Carolina are recognizing the economic potential of alcohol and are pushing to loosen the reins. New laws now allow beer and wine sales at campus sporting events throughout the UNC system. Meanwhile, the ABC Regulatory Reform Act hopes to modernize the system. The law, which goes into effect this weekend, updates some rules and regulations and offers some new promise for distilleries. Will Doran joins us now. He's a political reporter at the News and Observer. Will, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about this new law that goes into effect September 1st, the ABC Regulatory Reform Act. So what are some of the highlights of this bill?
This bill does a ton. The big winner really is craft distilleries. Like you just said, you know, over the past decade or so, the craft beer industry here has just been booming. Craft distilleries, not so much. And so this bill is kind of aimed at giving some of those businesses a little bit of a foot up. It will let them sell more bottles directly from the distillery instead of going through the ABC stores. It's going to let them have tastings at ABC stores. You know, like you might go to the grocery store and have a wine tasting. Now you might see the same thing with a liquor company at the ABC store. And it's going to let them even serve mixed drinks at distilleries as well, kind of show off some of the versatility of
because they had been under some severe restrictions. At first, they were only able to, well, I think maybe not at all, sell, because obviously ABC stores is where you sell liquor. And then they were allowed to sell one bottle.
And then that went up to five, yeah. And now it's unlimited, basically.
Unlimited. So that's going to help these distilleries. And, of course, we've seen a big boom in that industry in North Carolina, really, over the past couple of years.
Yeah, tons of places opening up, really all over the state. And, you know, of course, we've long had distilleries, even way before it was legal.
That's right. But now we're trying to stick our head above the water here. The bill is also meant to modernize the system some, because really a lot of these laws do go back to Prohibition, right?
Yeah, and there's some things that this bill does that basically just kind of essentially cleans up the language on some stuff that places had been doing for a long time anyways, but might have technically been illegal. For instance, a lot of times when you see dogs at breweries, which if you've ever gone to a brewery around North Carolina, you've probably seen dogs. A lot of times that's technically illegal because of the way that the health permits and everything are set up. So this changes the law to make sure that that's fine and people can keep doing that without getting in trouble. And it also make some other updates kind of along those lines. You can now officially buy more than one drink at the bar when you go, which, you know, a lot of people do that anyways. They'll go and buy some drinks for friends.
Right.
And this makes that technically legal.
More than one drink in front of you or a double shot and all of that. So it cleans up some of that. And then there is a law also for college sports fans. That will life will change for them.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge one. We're going to be able to sell alcohol, and specifically beer and wine, at college sports stadiums. No liquor. You got to keep that to your tailgate still. But inside the stadium, at a lot of places, not every university has opted in so far, but a lot of the big ones, especially the big football powerhouses, you know, NC State, ECU, App State, UNC, are all deciding that they are going to sell at least beer, some of them also selling wine.
And the law, of course, only affects the state system because that's what the law can affect, right?
Right. So, you know, Duke had already been selling alcohol, I think only in the kind of the luxury seating area there. I'm not sure. I'm personally a UNC fan, so I don't know too much about
Duke. Who cares what they do at Duke? No, I understand. So we know that, as you say, UNC State and ECU, we know maybe App State is possibly participating in this.
Yep.
And it's going to have an impact, I guess. I mean, the schools have been lobbying, at least their athletic departments have been lobbying for this for a long time, right?
Oh, I mean, imagine all of the millions of dollars they're going to make being able to sell their own beer instead of having people, you know, bring their own in the tailgates. I mean, when, you know, I think these beers are probably going to be going for $8, $9 a pop. And so, you know, if you're selling several thousand every weekend for a few weekends out of the year, that adds up.
And the state had something to say about the price, right, in this case?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's kind of interesting to think about this because it took a long time to get a lot of the changes and any kind of loosening in alcohol, and we're going to talk about that in a second in the state of North Carolina. But things seem to be changing fairly quickly now, would you say? There's new attitudes in the legislature and a bipartisan support for some of this stuff?
Yeah, it's kind of been a snowball effect where for a long time there was just real inertia against getting any sort of reforms and regulations passed, but the last really decade, you know, you saw some laws really kind of liberalize the beer rules. And then, you know, last year we had the brunch bill that made it so you could get your mimosas before noon on Sundays. And now we've, you know, seen these, more, you know, further reforms coming through.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the trend and how things have changed. I'm talking to Will Doran now, political reporter for the News and Observer. But to give us a bit of history on the evolution of liquor laws in the state, I'm going to talk to author and historian Chuck McShane. His article, How Charlotte Got Liquored Up, was featured in Charlotte Magazine. He also authored a paper on the history of liquor by the drink in North Carolina for the North Carolina Historical Review. Chuck, welcome to the State of Things.
Thanks for having me.
The state of North Carolina has been very, very conservative when it comes to alcohol, right? Take us back to Prohibition.
Yeah, it goes back further. It goes back all the way to the turn of the 20th century, really. North Carolina went into Prohibition or approved Prohibition about a decade before national Prohibition came into effect, and was one of the only states, one of two states, along with South Carolina, to reject ratifying the 21st Amendment in 1933. So always had a very strong anti-alcohol prohibitionist culture in North Carolina.
And even when liquor was, when they were going to sell it, they wanted to make it highly restricted, created an ABC commission, right? Tell us about the development of the ABC commission.
Right. So the ABC commission came into effect about 1937. A number of eastern counties came into the ABC system at that point. It was a county-by-county system, municipality-by-municipality. It took Mecklenburg County, the largest county in the state, 10 years to enter into the ABC system, and they had to sell it as something that would help pay for libraries and public public works. So it was a long long-term trend being able to get it approved county by county.
Where was the resistance coming from?
It was interesting because we, you know, had a very strong Baptist church, Southern Baptist church, very strong single-issue prohibitionist organization called the Christian Action League. But then also, you know, you had a very strong bootlegging culture, particularly in the moonshining culture, particularly in the western part of the state. And those two combined has kind of made politics make strange bedfellows there, and that was definitely the case in some of these smaller counties where the Baptist church was very much prohibitionist, and then bootleggers weren't particularly interested in having legal competition. So.
Yeah, that's very, I mean, listen, the Boston Tea Party, if you do the research, you find out that the tax, the import duty on tea was relaxed under the Stamp Act, and that's why the tea smugglers were behind. This is a little known fact in American history, but it was basically tax cheats who were behind the American Revolution. But that's not what we're talking about now. So the strange bedfellows, but the Religious Coalition, fascinating, and you write about this particularly when we get into the fight over liquor by the drink in the 70s. Tell us about that.
Right, so the 1970s is really where you see this becoming part of the culture wars, the broader culture wars in the United States. Businessmen in Charlotte, Raleigh, some of these growing urban areas, and also tourist interests in the beaches and the mountains are pushing hard for relaxation of this liquor by the drink law, which prohibited mixed drinks sold in restaurants. And there were all these strange loopholes and ways to get around these laws, and one of those was the practice of brown bagging. So you couldn't order a gin and tonic in a store or in a restaurant. You could, but you could bring your own gin, and they could give you the tonic, and you could mix it in a brown bag.
In a brown bag.
I guess no one could see the label, so it was okay. But when you were trying to attract particularly in Charlotte business community, when they were trying to attract a lot of businesses from the Northeast, entertaining CEOs from Northeastern companies and explaining to them this law, it kind of left a bad taste in some of their mouths, and it made them feel like a little bit backward.
So this set up a kind of a culture war, these kind of urban city slickers wanting their liquor, and then the country preachers who were really making a noise about keeping this from happening in North Carolina, right?
Right, yeah. And so Marsh Grant and the Biblical Recorder was a weekly newspaper at this time throughout the state. You have more than a million Southern Baptist congregation in North Carolina and a state of 5 million at the time. Mm-hmm. And you hear from the legislatures, the state legislatures during that time, you read their letters, they say Tuesday morning they can count on letters from repeating lines from the sermons.
What was interesting, too, in your article, and I never thought about this, but the fight over this and the way in which this religious coalition came together, the religious right, in a sense, coalesced around this issue, is also the beginnings of what we see the religious right, which will have important impact in the late 70s and through the 80s and 90s, right?
Yeah, I think this was an early issue for that coalition. They moved on from it after the 1980s to other issues, but it was the organization through the churches was kind of the foundation of that in the future.
Chuck McShane, researcher, historian, and author. Chuck, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Will Doran is with us, political reporter for the News and Observer. Will, thank you.
Thanks.
We're going to keep talking about this. A new bill seeks to end ABC stores. Could that mean you can buy liquor in your grocery store? We'll talk about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned. This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Talking about North Carolina liquor laws today. Recent legislation has expanded access to alcohol, and a bill in the House wants to go a step further. Privatized liquor sales. House Majority Whip John Hardister is co-sponsor of the bill. He's a Republican from Guilford County, and Representative Hardister is on the line with us now. Welcome to the State of Things.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Take us through this bill. What would it do?
Well, it would do exactly what you said. It would privatize the ABC system. Currently, the ABC stores across the state are government-owned. The system's existed since 1937. There's 100 counties in the state, but there's 170 ABC stores, and my belief is that the system needs to be modernized. I don't really think this is about alcohol. I think it's about business and modernizing the system. As noted earlier on the program, most other states have a system where the ABC sales have been privatized. I don't see any reason why the government should be in the business of selling alcohol.
Well, but as you say, it's been in business since 1937 or so and has been working. Why change it?
Well, I think it could be better. I think the existing system, you know, it's not necessarily a detrimental system, but why not do something better? I would submit that the government could actually regulate the private sector better than it can regulate itself. If the system's privatized, you're going to have private jobs, private sector companies coming in, retail companies that create jobs, that pay income taxes, that pay property taxes, and the government can regulate those stores just effectively, if not better, than the government can regulate itself.
Now, what impact would this have on the availability of liquor in North Carolina?
Well, that's really up to the private sector. Obviously, liquor will still be available. It'll be up to the retail companies to choose what type of liquor they want to sell. I think that should be driven by the free market. And I want to note also that all the applicable standards related to safety will still be there, because we all understand that the alcohol is a dangerous product if it's misused. And that is certainly not in debate. You can't sell to a minor. There's a lot of safeguards in place to protect the public. And that's something that we take very seriously. But also, we have to work through the structure of taxes and the fees and the permits. One thing that we want to do, that the bill sponsors want to do, is we want to make sure the local government is held harmless as much as possible. Because local government has come to rely on revenue from alcohol sales, well, that means we have to work through the excise tax. Are we going to tax the products by the bottle, by the gallon? That's something we have to work on to make sure that we keep the revenue there for local government.
And again, how is that right now? Is that something you can do? Because I know in Washington State, for instance, there was a study that showed that when they privatized in the state of Washington, the price of alcohol, the liquor, went up. But that's because they imposed the state imposed a 15% tax along with that privatization. So, yeah, the price went up. But what would happen in North Carolina?
Yeah, so we're looking at maybe moving to a tax on gallons rather than a tax on bottles. Right now, I believe we're at 30% per bottle. We might move into like a $28 per gallon type of situation. What that might do is it probably would result in cheaper liquor being more expensive and high-end liquor being less expensive. But that brings up an important point. The state, even with a private system, still has a lot of influence over the cost of the products.
Well, not everybody thinks this is a good idea. ABC Commission has controlled liquor sales in North Carolina since Prohibition, and there are those who say this proposed legislation would hurt consumers. Walter Harris is chair of the Chatham County ABC Board, and he joins us now. Walter, welcome.
Thank you.
What do you think about this? I know that you've been a critic of this legislation. What's the problem with it?
Well, we think, first of all, that North Carolina has the best system in the country. In talking with people from other control states and asking how we can improve our system, they all tell us to a person that we have the best system in the country. The point is that a core function of government is to protect the public welfare, health, and safety. And we feel that that is one of the things that is done through the control system rather than having it privatized.
Now, I have to ask you, if it is the best system in the country, why is it that only, I think there are only seven states that have actual owned and operated stores like the state of North Carolina? And even if you add control, you're only up to 17 states. If it's so good, how come more states aren't doing it?
I can't answer for them. I can tell you that one of the things that makes this so good is the fact that we're 44th in consumption across the country, but we're also seventh in revenue produced. So that is one of the things that also helps control is the cost. And in terms of cost, the ABC system does not set the cost of a price of a bottle of liquor. That is done by the distiller.
Well, so I don't understand why you think the cost would go up, because I know you've said that, but it seems to me if you have more retail outlets, there's more competition. And my understanding is when the competition increases, the price goes down.
That may be true in some cases. That has not been the case in places like the state of Washington or Iowa or West Virginia. What happens is the selection goes down. There might be, currently there are 170 ABC boards. There are 430 ABC stores. So a board may operate more than one location. The selection that is out there is also going to change. Having grown up in retail, I understand about shelf space. And for example, in store number one in Chatham County, we have over 1,600 selections in one store in 3,500 square feet of retail space. That is not going to be the case in a mom and pops. That is not going to be the case in a big box store.
What about that, Representative Hardister? Will the selection go down and therefore perhaps in that case, prices might go up because there's less of it available?
No, I don't think selection would go down. I think selection could actually go up when you have a free market situation, when you have private distributors, because that's what would happen is private wholesalers and distributors would take over the distribution product, and they actually have a lot of warehouse space. And that actually brings up a point that I want to make. The state auditor did an audit on the ABC system recently and indicated that there was somewhere around $14 million that was essentially wasted through excess warehouse space within the ABC system that was not being utilized.
What about that? It might be more efficient than the argument I hear, Walter Harris, is that, look, the private sector has really in the business of cutting those costs. Let them do that and let the state oversee them.
Yes, that's exactly right. I think that the private sector is much more likely to be efficient. And again, as far as safety is concerned, the government will still play a pivotal role in protecting public safety.
Well, Walter?
Well, the safety also comes in with the increased consumption. With more outlets, there's going to be an anticipated increase in the amount of drinking. The people who benefit the most are the heaviest drinkers if it's privatized. Also, one of our main focuses is to prevent underage drinking, and that has been a focus that the association has worked on, that the ABC Commission has worked on, is to prevent underage drinking. We want to keep it out of the hands of young people whose brains are still developing. And in point of fact, again, if I may go back to the state of Washington, while they have it available, their crime rate has gone up because people have found that they can go in and shoplift. And so now, rather than there being liquor on a shelf, it may be behind bars, it may be in a locked cabinet. So it is accessible, but not as accessible as it should be.
White, I do have to take you back to something you said earlier, because it seems like you're perhaps trying to have it both ways. You did say, I did hear you boast about being 44th in consumption, and then I heard you worry that perhaps if there were more outlets, there would be more consumption. So which is it? Do we want to encourage this thing or not? And again, if it's a business, of course, a business is encouraging more consumption, and you were boasting about it a minute ago.
Well, I think that the difference is, in privatized, the focus of business would be to sell, whereas in the system under control state is just that. It is to control. We are not allowed to sell to anyone who is underage. We are not allowed to sell to anyone who is intoxicated. So our focus is to control, whereas a retail business, their focus is to sell.
What about that? Representative Hardister, a store that's got a lot going on. You go into a grocery store. Kids can be in the grocery store. They're not even allowed in the state liquor stores. It's going to be, you say the controls will still be there. The laws still apply. But what I hear Walter Harris saying is it's just going to be harder to do. It's better to be done under the current system.
Well, you currently can walk into a grocery store and you can see wine being sold and beer being sold. You can even see wine tastings in a grocery store. To have a liquor product in there would not be a whole lot different. Also, I'd point out that I don't think we need to be in the business of babysitting our citizens. I think the vast majority of our citizens and parents and guardians of minors are responsible, and the government can regulate what type of situation you can have within a retail establishment. The government can regulate the type of advertising that can take place, the hours in which liquor products can be sold, and also the location within a store. And for example, I was in Michigan not too long ago, and I went to, a grocery store, and they basically had a liquor section in there, but they roped it off at a certain hour. You couldn't sell it after a certain hour. So there's still things the government can do to regulate the advertising and the consumption.
What about the people who are working at ABC stores now? How many of them, Representative Hardister, will lose their jobs, and what do we do about that?
Yeah, that's certainly something that the bill sponsors are not too excited about. But that being said, a lot of those folks could transition over to a retail store because they ostensibly have the wherewithal and the understanding of the liquor product. So they could definitely move into a private sector situation where they're working for a retailer.
Walter Harris, you don't think so?
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that most of the big box stores and even the mom and pops have all the cashiers that they need. And so I don't see the 28,000 people who are working in the system, 2,800 people who are working in the system transitioning to another position.
Representative Hardister, the ABC would still have some, there would still be a form of oversight. So there'd be some form of a commission that is responsible for the regulation, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Well, North Carolina's craft distillers have expressed some concern about the proposed privatization of liquor sales. Vienna Barger of Southern Distilling Company in Statesville joins us now. Vienna, welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you for having me.
Have you seen this? Let's talk about this particular legislation, this particular bill, because I understand you have some concerns about it. What are they?
Well, we work in a variety of states, so certainly North Carolina is home to us, and we've had our eye on the system, and then any efforts or discussions of privatization is something that we're consistently monitoring. For us in North Carolina, there are strengths and challenges to our system, just like there are in the other state systems, whether they be open states, franchise states, or other control states. For the North Carolina distilleries, some of the advantages that we find is that we do have a lot of transparency working in a control state system. We also have level pricing, and it really puts us on a level playing field with the larger companies, the larger liquor producers, to be able to bring our products to market and have greater accessibility to the marketplace.
Well, what is it about this system? Because we heard that the state isn't controlling the price. So what do you mean when you say level pricing? How does that come about through this system?
The ABC Commission does not set the price, so it is true that the supplier sets the price, but every bottle of our product that is sold at the same price statewide. When you're in an open state system, there is a lot of negotiation and variability and different shelf prices depending on the desire of the retailer of how to price that product.
Wouldn't this be a boon, though, for distillers to find themselves in, you know, grocery stores, more and more of which are promoting their local section? Doesn't this bode well and allow you to be in more places?
I think it brings a new set, again, of strengths and challenges. Yes, there is additional market opportunity. However, for us, now we work within a single framework and a single system and have access to that system. In the larger markets and the open state markets, and you will hear this experience of the distilleries that were in Washington State as they did their conversion over to privatization, now they're having to reach out and market to every single one of those independent retailers rather than working within the ABC system as a whole. And there is a whole new set of challenges there relative to lack of transparency and negotiating all of those different sales deals that is different than the current system that we have in North Carolina. So again, strengths and challenges of each.
Representative Hardister, had you taken into account some of these challenges with the distillers in particular, and is there a chance that there's a way to sort of, I know that it's still right now in the House, so there's time to rework the bill, and I wonder if you've had a chance to think about that.
Yes, absolutely, and I want to make the point that the bill sponsors are very much open to having conversations with stakeholders like the distillers. We certainly do not and will not fast-track this issue. The bill was heard in committee a few weeks ago, but that was for discussion only, because that's where we are. We want to have these discussions with stakeholders, with anyone who's concerned about the system, for the different industries that are involved in the system, as well as citizens to figure out the best way to do this if we're going to make the transition.
I want to ask you something that I didn't ask you about that Walter Harris mentioned earlier, which was that crime went up as a result of this, particularly in those stores, more theft and that sort of thing. And this was a downside. And I wonder if that's anything that gives you concern, Representative Hardister.
Well, I'm not familiar with those statistics. I'd have to look at it. And one thing that we are going to do over time is reach out to states that do have a private system, that may have a system similar to the one that we're proposing. Because, I mean, as you mentioned before, there's not many states that have what we have, which is basically a government-controlled system. The other states vary in the type of retail permitting process they have. And what we're going to do as bill sponsors, and we're going to have our staff just reach out to these other states, do some research, and, you know, see what they've done that works, what doesn't work, and crime is certainly something that we'll take into consideration.
Have you, one question is sort of why now, and maybe the larger question is the political landscape. It has certainly been a tough sell to liberalize or make liquor sales in any way easier in the state of North Carolina. Historically, things seem to be changing. We know very quickly in the early 2000s, the move to sell high-gravity beer allowed for a proliferation of brew pubs and breweries in the state of North Carolina. And I wonder if there's anything about the economic or political landscape, Representative Hardister, that makes this easier or harder to do now?
Yes. So, I mean, again, as I said before, I think this is about jobs. It's about business. It's not necessarily so much about alcohol, even though that might kind of seem like a paradox. But the bottom line is North Carolina has ABC laws that are in some ways very outdated, but you can't change these laws overnight because people understandably have concerns related to safety, and that's something that's very much a part of this discussion. But I would submit that you can separate the business side from the safety side, and that's what we're trying to do. You know, Ronald Reagan said one time that the closest thing to eternal life is a government program. Well, this is essentially a government program, and so it's been around for a long time, and it's not easy to change, but I would submit that a private system would be better than what we have in place now.
Walter Harris, couldn't you bring all of the expertise that you've had and the great experience that you've had in the kind of control and safety measures that the ABC Commission has exercised over the years, bring that to this new commission or to this new system and maybe tighten things up in ways that other states aren't able to do because we don't have this kind of experience?
Well, I had a good friend once who told me, says, if it's not broken, fix it till it is. And I don't want to see us get into that position. in terms of looking at this, the programs evaluation division of the legislature has done a study and has done two studies, and they have found that their recommendation is to modernize the system, to make changes such as what's in the House bill, I mean, 290,
mm-hmm.
So that we have tastings and things like that. You don't want to necessarily throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think what we have is a good system. It can be tweaked and worked within the system. But again, maintaining control, there's a lot of things that come about with that. And I mentioned that revenue produced, the local ABC boards. And again, let me emphasize it's local.
Mm-hmm.
So if a community does not want to have an ABC store, they don't have to vote it in. That has changed over time, as you were noting, that mm-hmm. we have more ABC stores, that more counties are with. But over $430 million was distributed by the local ABC boards. $80 million of that went back to the counties and municipalities.
Let me ask, because I'm running out of time. Representative yes. Hardister, you said that the legislation does at least is looking at that, or you're addressing that to some degree.
Yes, we are. We're absolutely looking at that. And like I said, we're open to input. We're going to be very methodical throughout the process.
I want to thank all of you for being on the program. Representative John Hardister, Republican House Majority Whip from Guilford County, Walter Harris, Chair of the ABC Board of Chatham County, and Vienna Barger, owner of Southern Distilling Company in Statesville. Thank you all for being with us on the show.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Coming up on the State of Things, music from the North Carolina-based band Mipso. Stay tuned.